Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. Before we begin our shiur, as we have been noting till now, make sure that you have your Pirush Chai Sefer, your book of illustrations, available, as you will find it very useful for understanding the Gemara. We continue, or open up today's shiur, 6 lines from the bottom of Daf Vov, Omid Aleph. Before we begin the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, Ketzad Me'arvin Rishus Arabim. You will notice that we call this section with a diamond to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. There's a diamond with a number 1 in it. On Omid Beis, there will be a diamond with a number 2, which in effect is a moderation of what we will be discussing now. There, the Gemara speaks about Ketzad Me'arvin Mevu'ois HaMufuloshin L'Rishus HaRabim. The opening Gemara will give us the impression that there is a possibility of being Ma'arev, making an Eruv. An Eruv in this case is similar to the way we've been dealing with a Movui, in the sense of a public thoroughfare being converted into a place that you would be able to carry things. So how can that be done? Even though we know in general that a Rishus HaRabim without imposing any innovation would be a place of strict prohibition of carrying things. Here, we're going to introduce a possibility that you can make this some type of institution or innovation, and in effect, permit carrying in a public thoroughfare. The Gemara will bring this into question when we get to Omid Beis, and therefore, it will redefine this the opening source of our Gemara by referring to not an actual Rishus HaRabim, a major thoroughfare, but rather alleyways that are open at both ends, which open at both ends to a public thoroughfare. Of course, that being a much lesser significant situation, it's a much less serious matter, and hence it's something that lends itself to a tikkun, to some type of intervention or innovation allowing the carrying. We notice in our Gemara a triangle that appears around Tanakamo and around Hananyo. These are two opinions in presenting this matter, and we will also notice a double underlining highlighting the opinions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So we start our source, Tana Rabbanan. Ketzad Me'arvin Derech Rishus HaRabim. How does one make an Eruv to allow the carrying in a public thoroughfare? There is a diagram that is on page 9, the lower half of the page, diagram 54, with a picture of a city with a major through street, and Rashi adds some more details, but we are not going to get into that now. But as far as a Rishus HaRabim definition, we're of course talking about a through street that would measure 16 amos across, as we've learned in previous Gemaras. So how is an Eruv accomplished? An Eruv meaning in this case the innovation to allow carrying in a Rishus HaRabim. Answer, Oyset Suras HaPesach Mikan Velechi V'Kora Mikan. The Tanakama says you would make a Suras HaPesach, a door frame structure at one end, and Alechi at the other. This you can see illustrated in picture 55 at the bottom of page 9. Hananya, Omer Hananya, we'll say, notches things up a bit and presents a more strict and more thorough type of innovation necessary. And he presents a machlokis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Hanan Yomer, Beis Shammai Yomer, Oysa Delas Mikan Vedelas Mikan, Ukshi Yoytse Venichnas Noel. There would have to be two doorways or gateways at one, at either end, at both ends of this thoroughfare. Picture 56 illustrates that. And in addition to there being gateways, they would have to be closed on Shabbos. They would have to be closed at all times. And if you would want to exit the city, you have to make sure that you close that gateway. Beis Hillel Omrim, Oisa Deles Mikan, Velechi Vekor Mikan. Beis Hillel is a little more lenient than Beis Shammai, but not as lenient as the Tanakamo. Beis Hillel insists on a door at one end of the Rishus Rabim, and the other end it would suffice if you have a Lechi or Korah. There is an illustration that points this out in illustration number 57 at the top of page 10, where you can see at the far end of this a delis, a gate, a door, an actual doorway, and at the other end, the closer end, you can see a lechi. The Gemara asks a question, and this question we have noted as a long question. It takes you down quite a few lines down Omid Beis. The Rishus HaRabim Mima Arva. Is it possible to make an Eruv and enabling carrying in a Rishus HaRabim in a public thoroughfare? We will present a Tanaic source. In the main point of this discussion, I would say, is what we've dashed on line, four lines from the top of Omid Beis, where you see in this source it says, Ein ma'arvin rishus harabim bekach. A rishus harabim cannot be allowed through an eruv. And the long question continues, as you can see, if we were to skip to the end of the long question, you would see Omar Rav Yehuda, Hochi Ko Omaren. As a result of that, there's Rav Yehuda says that the opening source should be restated as follows, and you can see the framed section, Ketzad Ma'arvin Mavuos HaMefuloshin Rishus HaRabim. How do you make a tikkun for a mavui that's mefulosh? That means an alleyway that opens at both ends to a Rishus HaRabim, but not that the Rishus HaRabim itself has a tikkun. The brackets that included on the fourth line of the top of Omid Beis till the end of the long question is simply there to make the reading of the Gemara easier, so that you can see the basic question and get immediately to the answer in the bracketed section. So there will be an attempt to retain the source as it is, but that attempt won't be effective. So now that the layout is clear, we look at the Gemara. The long question begins: Rishus HaRabim Mima Arva? Can a Rishus HaRabim be made mutter? Can be allowed? Made to be allowed to carry in it? The Ha Tanya. We have a source. Now this source basically is in the middle. Opens and throws you into the middle of a discussion. Rashi gives the background. Rashi, and the background that is needed, if you want to appreciate the Rashi, you would look at diagram 58 and 59, in which the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda is presented. And in fact, Rebbe Yehuda is not really the focus of our discussion, but as a lead-in, so these illustrations will be helpful. As you can see, if you take picture 58 as an example, there's a public thoroughfare, but across the public thoroughfare, there's a house built on above it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, from a Torah standpoint, a Rishus HaYochid is established when you have something enclosed on two sides. So that, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, who was very lenient, this picture, 58, is not a real Rishus HaRabim. And because you have the house going across the top, you don't have to have any further tikkun. It's enough that the edges of the house in your mind's eye descend. That's called pi tikra yorid v'sosem. As you can see, there's an aleph with an arrow indicating that that edge in your mind's eye would descend, forming an enclosure. And as a result of that, the area under the house, even though it's part of the public thoroughfare, the area under the house, or in 59, the area under the bridge, that, or overpass, that area is considered totally enclosed and would be considered a Rishus HaYochid. That is according to Rabbi Yehuda. So we continue in our Gemara. The question once again is, can you really make an Eruv in a Rishus HaRabim V'atanya? We have the source, Yeser Al Kein Omer Rabbi Yehuda, more than that which we've already said. It's not in the words of the Gemara, but we gave the background. In other words, even more than 58 and 59, Rabbi Yehuda says, we're at the top of Amud Beis. Mi shahoyu lo shnei botim mi shnei tzidei rishus harabim. You can imagine someone that owns houses at two sides of a rishus harabim. There's a picture of this picture, 60. So there is, what you're looking at there is a thoroughfare, and you're looking at houses that open into this thoroughfare. And one person owns both of these houses. He has two houses on either side of the public thoroughfare. The source continues, Oy selechi mikan velechi mikan, Oy kura mikan vekura mikan. He would place a lechi at either side of one of his houses. And you can see in illustration 60, you can see the alephs. They represent lechis at the extreme edges of his house. Or he can put koras across the edges of his house, as you can see in the bays illustration of picture 60. The noise v'noisim v'amtzan carry in the area between the two houses. Noticing the whole time that area is part of a thoroughfare of a Rishus HaRabim. Omru lo, the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they say, Ein ma'arvin Rishus HaRabim bekach. A Rishus HaRabim cannot be made allowed to carry in. Now, at this point, we have the brackets. You could skip till the answer, and the question being that you can't make an Eruv in a Rishus HaRabim. So what do you do with the source that we saw at the opening of today's shiur, which said Kates and Marvin Derek Rishus HaRabim, when you can't make an Eruv in a Rishus HaRabim? So the Gemara will answer after the brackets. It says Kates and Marvin Mevuos HaMufulash in Rishus HaRabim. How do you make an Eruv to allow carrying in a through alleyway, not an actual public thoroughfare, but an alley, public meaning a major through street, no, but an alleyway that opens at both ends to Rishus HaRabim, that does lend itself to a tikkun that we call here an Eruv. However, we didn't get to the answer yet. The Gemara continues at the fourth line from the top in the bracketed section. After having read the Rabbanon's response to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbanon said, You can't do what we saw in picture 60. V'chi teimo bekach udelo ma'arvo. That doesn't work. In other words, what you see in picture 60, the Rabbanon say, won't be effective. In other words, that's not a way to matir a Rishus HaRabim. Ha bedalsois ma'arvo. But if you would have doors, then you could make this tikkun for a Rishus HaRabim. In other words, something, as long as you have something more significant than the lechi or korah, specifically doors, would be effective. The Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chano, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim, the city of Yerushalayim, Il Mole Dal Sesen in Alois Balayla, if not for the fact that the gates of Yerushalayim were locked at night, Chayovin Olel Mishum Rishus HaRabim. The fact that there were gates there or doorways there is not enough. Carrying in Yerushalayim, even if there are doorways, even if there are doors there or gates there, it would be considered a Rishus HaRabim. Only by the fact that it's closed does it become a Rishus HaYochid. The Omar Ula, Hani Abuli, Abuli are gates, the Mechuza. Mechuza is the name of a city. If not for the gates of Mechuza, the gates of Mechuza, Il Mole Dal Sesem Nin Alois, if not for the fact that those gates are closed, Chayovin Aleha Mishim Rishus HaRabim. So you see that a Rishus HaRabim cannot be made. As long as the Rishus HaRabim is a thoroughfare, you cannot matir it, not with a lechi, not with a korah, and not with a setting up gates or doorways. Only if it's actually closed, then it's closed. It's an enclosed area, literally enclosed, and therefore it's no longer a Rishus HaRabim, but rather an enclosed area. And only then would it be allowed to carry on Shabbos. But what do you see from this entire discussion? You see that this attempt to make an Eruv, tikkun, an innovation to allow carrying in a Rishus HaRabim is not possible. If that be the case, then how do we understand the source with which we opened up today's shiur, the source 6 lines from the bottom of Omid Aleph? The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Yehuda Ha'ochi Komar. Thusly, one is to understand the source. Ketzad Ma'arvin Mevuos HaMufuloshim L'Rishus HaRabim. How do you make a tikkun, how do you make an Eruv for an alleyway whose both ends, Mufulosh means both ends are open to a Rishus HaRabim? So regarding that, we say Oisa Tzuras HaPesach Mikan V'Lechi V'Korah Mikan. That's what the Tanakhama would be telling you. That make a Tzuras HaPesach at one end and a Lechi or Korah at the other end, and you can carry in such an alleyway, even though it's an alleyway that's Mufulosh. As we look onwards in the Gemara, we note at the side the Nosei, the topic heading, Leman deboi tikun delis lemovui mefulash. According to the opinion that says you need to have a doorway for a mavui mefulash, do you have to actually close that door, or is it enough that there is a door there? We continue in the Gemara. Itma Rav Omar Hilchos Ketanakhama. Rav rules leniently, like the Tanakhama in the Brisa that we had on Omid Aleph that said Ketz and Ma'arvin, which means there's no need for a door to begin with. Shmuel Omar Halacha Kichananya. Shmuel says there is the need for a door. Now, of course, when we paskin a halacha and you have a machlokis beisham beis hillel like we had in the source, you can rest assured that we're going like Hananiah's version of Beis Hillel. Now, Hananiah's version of Beis Hillel, however, did have a door in the picture, in the case, so that you'd have this mavui mefulash, this through mavui. At one end, you would have an actual door, and the other end, as we saw, would have a lechi or a korah. We have a house marking, and the house marking introduces that which we mentioned in our topic heading, She'elo zu yitzorch linol nish'alo pamayim. We'll notice that the same question is asked twice in the course of the Gemara. The door that we indicated must be there. When you have a mavui mefulash, does it need to be closed as well in order to serve as a tikkun? Ibaya laho. L'chananya liba de Beis Hillel. Chananya, according to his version of Beis Hillel, that there is the need for a door. Tzorch linol ul'ein tzorch linol. Does the door have to be closed? Linol, generally speaking, means locked. But for our purposes, it would mean, does the door have to be closed or not? Toshma, the Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, eino tzorch linol. It does not need to be closed. It's enough that there is a door. V'chein omer Rav Matana mar Shmuel eino tzorach linol. And likewise, Rav Matana quotes Shmuel saying the same thing. Iko di Amri, another version in presenting Rav Matana, omer Rav Matana b'didi have uvda, an incident happened with me. In other words, I had this mavui mefulash situation. The omer li Shmuel ein tzorach linol. And Shmuel said that the door that's required does not need to be closed. Bo minei meirav onon. And again, the marking here indicates that, like we introduced before, the same question is asked. Tzorech linol o ein tzorech linol. Does the door need to be closed or not? Omer lehu, Rav Onon answers, tochozi hani abuli di Nahardo'o. Notice the gates of the city of Nahardo'o, the timein ad palgayu ba'afro. Timein comes from the word tomun. In this case, we're talking about off afra as dirt. There was dirt that covered the bottom of the doors up to halfway up the doorway. And at this point in the Gemara, we're going to understand that the dirt was packed in, as Rashi says, in such a way that you couldn't close the doorways, the doors over here. Rashi says, "Betimein ad palgayo ba'afro, stumos ad chetzion ba'afro." They were like sealed halfway up from the floor, halfway up the door, with dirt packed around the bottoms. Veinodam yochol linolun mipneofer, and you simply can't close them. So you have a situation of an open doorway. There is an illustration 64, which hopefully clarifies this. So you have this situation on Shabbos. Let's read this again, honey. Abuli de Nardo, the gates of Nardo, the Timen at Palgayo Ba'afra. Of course, these were alleyways opening to a Rishus Harabim that were, the gates themselves were covered in dirt till halfway up there at their height. The Ayo Venofik Mar Shmuel Velomer Luhu Velomidi. And Shmuel walked in and out of these alleyways and didn't say anything. In other words, a sign of approval. Omar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana rejects this and says, Hani Megufos Avoi. Picture 65. They were basic, Megufos really means they were closed, partially open, so that you can't conclude from this story like that which Rav Onan wanted to conclude, that you can have something that's open and it's all right. Those gates that Shmuel tolerated were basically closed with a slight opening in them. Ki also Rav Nachman Omar Panyuha Lafrayu. When Rav Nachman came and addressed this case and says, "Well, they removed the dirt." And so Lema, should we say Kosovar Rav Nachman Tzorach Linol, that by removing the dirt, that would then indicate that the doors could actually be closed? And maybe what Rav Nachman's position is that doors have to be closed in order for them to be effective. The one says, "Lo, the removal of the dirt does not show that Rav Nachman holds you need to close the doors. Kevon de Ruyos Linol, as long as they have the possibility of being closed, afalpi she'ein ninalos, even if they are not actually closed, the door will still be effective in being matir the movui mefulosh." We now start a new discussion, but we will be referring to information that we have learned in the past. On the side of the Gemara, we have our Nosei heading, Movui Okum B'Nahar Da'a. There was an example of a Movui Okum in Nahar Da'a. And now this Movui Okum in Nahar Da'a, Rashi points out, very importantly, Shnei Psochav Mifuloshen Rishus HaRabim. So we're going to be looking at the Rashi diagram to appreciate this Gemara. In the Pirush Chai, he has a diagram that is back on page 8, diagram for picture 48, illustration 48. So we have we continue with our introduction. The Movui Okum in Nahardo, Shetilu Oleo Chomrei de Rav, Vechomrei de Shmuel. referring to the Mavui Okum, in Nardal they imposed upon this the stringencies of Rav and the stringencies of Shmuel. We'll find that we'll have to refer back to Omid Aleph in order to truly appreciate this Gemara. And one, here the markings will be helpful. Just spot the bow tie from before. It makes it easy to find it. And immediately after the bow tie, you see Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara will be telling us that we'll be imposing stringencies suggested by Rav and stringencies suggested by Shmuel onto this one case. HaGemara takshe. If we continue in our introduction, the Gemara will ask, Hare Kotoni, we have a Tanaic source that says, the Ein Lifso Ketrei Chumri, that you're not to rule legally like two stringencies. Now, the Gemara. Ahu Movui Akum. There was a Mavui Okum, a literally the bent Mavui, but as we said, it's two ends of it were opened to the same Rishus Rabbim. And this Mavui Okum was in the city of Naharda. Rami Ole Chomrei de Rav v'Chomrei de Shmuel. They rule, literally, Rami is to place upon. It means they legally placed upon this particular Mavui, Chomrei de Rav, the Chomrei de Shmuel, the stringencies of Rav and the stringencies of Shmuel. And as a result, the Atzrichuhu Dalsos, and required doors, literally doors, at the two bends. The two bends, you can see at the in the Rashi, this is an aerial view of the situation, required two doors at the bends. And the Gemara explains, Chomrei de Rav, the Omar, Teiroso kemefulash. The arrow that you can see tells you to look back at Vov Omer Aleph, and if you go back to Vov Omer Aleph and find your parallel arrow indicating Vov Omer Beis, you'll see that on that line, Rav had said Teiroso kemefulash, that it has the a Mavui Okum, a bent Mavui, whose two ends open to a Rishus HaRabim, is considered a through fair. It's considered a thoroughfare. It's called Mefulash. And even though it's not exactly a straightaway, but the two ends open to a public Rishus HaRab, public thoroughfare, the alleyway having this form is also considered Mefulash. Now, as a result of calling something mefulash, what does that remind you of? That reminds you of the source that we opened up today's shiur with. And we saw that a mavui mefulash, according to Hananya, even according to Beis Hillel's opinion, needs a door. So that's Chomrei de Rav, that calls it Mefulash, and then we impose the need for a door based on Hananya's ruling that a Mavui Mefulash needs a door. The Gemara asks, who says you need a door? But Vahoma Rav Halacha Ketanakama, but Rav himself says that we rule like the Tanakama. And the Tanakama in that source that was at the bottom of Omid Aleph did not make any reference to a door. By the way, the restatement of that Tanakama, we see at the upper third of this page, where the there was a Hochikoma squiggle underlined, appeared in our markings, and there's a little star to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. There was no reference to a door in that statement of the Tanakama. So why the need? Why do you say that in the Mavui Okum of Nahardah, they impose the double Chumrah, and as a result require doors? Rav doesn't require a door. So the Gemara answers, this is what we meant, that the stringency of Shmuel, Kishmuel, the Omar Halacha, Kechananya. This is in conformity to Shmuel that we saw above on this Omid, where Shmuel's name was underlined. We saw him rule like the Tana, like Chananya. And ruling like Chananya means that there is a need for a door. And just to make things a little clearer, we have a little star to the left-hand side of the Gemara text where you can see the references to these rulings above. So, if you're asking why did they impose doors on the Mavu Yochum of Nahar Dos, I'll say it's based on Shmuel, who says that we rule like Hananya. The Gemara asks, V'omar Shmuel. But Shmuel said, back on Omer Aleph, by the Mavu Yochum, Toiroso Kisasum. And here, again, we have to maneuver with our markings. If you go back to the bow tie on Omer Aleph, and you notice under that Shmuel, he said that the Mavu Yochum is considered sealed, and as such, it doesn't need a door. The only discussion of doors is if something is mefulash. So to this we answered what we said before, that we impose the stringency of Rav. Kirav di omar terosu ke mefulash. Rav says a mavui okum is viewed as mefulash. So by imposing the stringencies of Rav and the stringency of Shmuel, you come out that a mavui okum needs to have a door. And in without using names, because we're viewing the Mavui Okum as, number one, it's Mefulash, and number two, we're paskening like Hananya. The Gemara asks a question, and this is a very long question. Notice how far down it goes on Zayin Omid Aleph. It's a very long question. However, most of it, we will notice, is in brackets, so that we'll be able to focus on the primary question, skip over to the answer, and then deal with the bracketed section. We mentioned already that this is brought into question. How can you paskin like a double chumrah, as we just did? We took the Mavui Okum, we took some Rav Chumrah, and we took some Shmuel Chumrah, and combined them, and required doors for our Mavui Okum. The Gemara asks the question as follows, Umi Avdinon Kitrei Chumri. Do we do that? Do we actually impose two stringencies onto one topic? V'hotanya. We have a Tanaic source, and we will notice later in the Gemara, this Tanaic source is not so smooth, but you'll get the drift of it. The main point we will see as we go on. The source says, the Olam Halachik HaBeisel, when you want to rule, you'll follow the ruling of Beis Hillel. As when he argues with Beis Shammai, the Halacha follows Beis Hillel. If you want to follow Beis Shammai, you can. If you want to follow Beis Hillel, you can. Mikule Beis Shammai, Kule Beis Hillel. If someone chooses the leniencies of whenever there are arguments between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you'll pick the points of leniency of Beis Hillel and the points of leniency of Beis Shammai. Someone whose halachic lifestyle is like that, Rasha, is considered wicked. Mechumrei Beis Shammai uMechumrei Beis Hillel. Someone who chooses the stringencies of Beis Shammai and the stringencies of Beis Hillel, Olav HaKosov Omer, regarding someone like that, the Pasuk says, HaKsil B'choshech Olech. The Ksil is the fool, walks in darkness. In other words, it's not the way to go. Ela, rather, you pick one opinion and be consistent. Ike Beis Shammai, Kikuleon Kikumrehon. Pick him and go with Beis Shammai's leniencies and stringencies. Ike Beis Hillel, Kikuleon. The main point for us is what we've dashed underlined. The picking the chumras of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is considered the way of a fool. At this point, you notice the bracketed section, and the note accompanying these brackets reads, Asograyim Marim Ad Kan Istayim Akushya. Up till this is the end of the question. The Nitan Lidaleg Lichuvos. And we can, at this point, skip to the answers. Within the brackets, another question will be raised and will be answered. So, the question has been asked, how is it that we're imposing on one case, the Mavui Okum case, a double stringency, the stringency of Rav and the stringency of Shmuel? So if you skip, just to get a flavor of the flow of the Gemara, we skip to Zayin Omer Aleph. You'll notice where we have double underlines. The double underlines are answers to this question. How can you paskin like two chumras? So Omer Av Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kulei Kirav Avdua. The psak in putting doors there in the Mavui Okum was not that we were paskining like the chumras of Rav and of Shmuel. We were going straight Rav, and that will be explained. Approach number two, the second double underline, Omer Rav Shizvi, he says, he qualifies this idea of not following the double chumrah. That will be explained at length later. Now that the structure of the Gemara has been laid out, we have come to, we realize that we have a question, and that will have to be answered later. The question being, why in the Nahar Doi Movui Okum did they impose doors by following the Chumas of Rav and of Shmuel? But now in the brackets. And in order to introduce this section of Gemara, we have a nosei on the side that we've called Tocha Sograim, within the brackets. The role of the Gemara here is Liyashev Stira Pnimis Besocha Braisa. We have to resolve an internal contradiction. The opening of the source says that the halacha always follows Beis Hillel. Mitzad sheni, and from another standpoint, if you want to go like Beis Shammai, you can do that. How can you say that after you said that you have to follow Beis Hillel? Now the Gemara. In the brackets. And the bracket length indicator is also to be noted at the side of the Gemara, the vertical dash dotted line. Ha gufo kashu. This source that we use to raise our question of how can you follow two chumas, the source itself is inherently difficult. Amris, on the one hand, you said the olam halakha beis hillel, that you always follow the ruling of Beis Hillel, the Hodar Amris, and then you say, if you want to follow Beis Shammai, you can do that. Lo kashya. We have a triangle, and it's noted on the side, under the Mivneh heading, as Chuvos Liyashev Stira Hanal. These are answers. Here is one, and at the bottom line, number two, and we'll see a third approach, two lines from the top of Zayin Omer Aleph. Lo kashya. Kan koidim basko, kan la'achar basko. A basko is a heavenly voice, and the heavenly voice ruled that the halacha follows Beis Hillel. So the opening of this source is a later point in history, that after the basko, after this heavenly voice came forth saying to go like Beis Hillel, so then you see that which is reflected at the opening of the source. The option to follow otherwise, to go like Beis Shammai, that was before the Bas Kol. The Ivoy Seima, another approach, Ha V'ha Li'achar Bas Kol. This entire source is taught after the heavenly voice issued its announcement. So if that's the case, so how is there an option to paskin other than Beis Shammai, other than Beis Hillel? The Rebbe Yoshua Hi, and the source that says that the source that does not feel, let's say, bound to Beis Hillel, is because this is in accordance with Rebbe Yoshua, the Lo Mashgach Bebaskol. Rebbe Yoshua, in coming to legal conclusions, does not pay attention to the heavenly voice. He doesn't regard it as a means of settling halachic controversy. There is a whole story that accompanies this. Rashi makes reference to the story in the fourth parak of Bava Metzia, which one can look up over there on Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis. The Iboyesema, another approach, Hochi Ko'amar. Thusly, we are to understand things. Now, in order to really appreciate this, we recommend to learn Rashi. So let's do that together at the top line. The Iboyesema, Haroitze Lasos, the Kotoni, the opening, that is not actually the opening, but the source that after it said, Le'olam Aluchu Beis Hillel, the source said, if you want to go like Beis Shammai, so Rashi says that phrase, Lav Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Davke Nochad. It's not going on. It's not a reference to Beis Shammai Beis Hillel literally. Al Korchuch Ke Beis Hillel Boy Lenevad. You have to rule like Beis Hillel. So what about this option clause? Elo Aplukto Dishar Tanoi Ba'almo Koi De Pligi Ba'almo Bishar Mili. It's a reference to general Tanaic controversies that argue that where you find arguments in other matters, Kagon Elu Machloikis De Beis Shammai U Beis Hillel, like we find Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing, Klomar Ki Eichi De Pligi Beis Shammai U Beis Hillel, Bedivre Machlu Kosan, just like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have arguments, if you find other Tanoim arguing, so you can choose the Tano that you want, and then the source goes on to say that if you do choose someone, you should be consistent in following their rulings and not always choose just the leniencies of both opinions or the stringencies of both opinions. Now let's turn to the Gemara. Second line from the top, Viboy Seima Hochi Komar, thusly you understand the source. After establishing that you must paskin like Beis Hillel when they argue with Beis Shammai, however, Kol Echo de Mishkachas Trei Tanoi Trei Amoroi de Pligi Adodi, wherever you find Tanaic controversies or even Amoraic controversies that argue on one on the other, Ki Ein Machlokis Beis Shammai uBeis Hillel, like you find Beis Shammai Beis Hillel arguing, it might be said that they represent the archetype of Machlokis. In fact, we find the Maimer Chazal that Machlokis L'shem Shamayim is like the Machlokis Beis Shammai, so they are viewed as the archetype of Machlokis. So when you find a Machlokis in general, again, not referring specifically to Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, because there we know how you have to rule. Nevertheless, in general, we find other controversies between other Tanoim or other Amoroim. Lo levit ki kulei demor v'chi kulei demor. Don't choose specifically the leniencies of one and the leniencies of the other, nor the stringencies of one and the stringencies of the other, elo ki kulei demar ukechumrei ovid, o ki kulei demar ukechumrei ovid. But rather, if you just have a machlokes Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Shimon, or Rebbe Yeshua and Rebbe Lozer, so you'll follow Rebbe Yeshua's leniencies and his stringencies, or you'll follow Rebbe Lezer's leniencies and his stringencies. Be consistent in choosing a particular opinion. Mikol Mokom Kashya. At this point, we tie back into what we saw before the brackets. We still have a difficulty regarding Nahardah, because in the Hardah, they did exactly what we were told not to do. We saw double machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. We saw they had a machlokas in the case of the Movi Okum, and we saw they had a machlokas with regard to how to paskin in the machlokas between the Tanakama and Hananya. And we were taking the chumros of each one, with the chumros of Rav, the chumra of Rav, and the chumra of Shmuel. How can you do that? We were just told not to do that. The Gemara answers. Omer of Nahbis. Again, we pointed out earlier that the double underline introduces the answer. This is answer number one. Rav Shizvi will provide answer number two a few lines from now. Omer of Nahbis. So Kulei Kerav Avdua. The ruling in that, with regard to that, Movui Akum, that bent Movui in Nahardah, and they imposed the need for doorways, was a straight out psak like Rav. And of course, we saw earlier that Rav, when looking at a Movui Okum, he said Toiroso Kimafulosh, that it's considered a straightaway, a thoroughfare, and that's good enough reason for being strict. the Omar Rav Huna Omar Rav Halacha v'ein morin kein. Rav, when he paskined like the Tanakama with regard to the Movui Mefulash, he says that is the letter of the law, but we don't rule thusly, practically speaking. Ein morin kein, we don't publicize it. Rather, on a practical applied halacha level, we will go like Hananya. So what's Rav? Rav is telling you on a practical level, first of all, the Movi Okum is Mefulash, and as such, you've got to go like Hananya, and therefore we have a door requirement. The Gemara asks, Sula Rav, Odo bar Avo marav, the Omar halachu morin kei, ma'i kol ha-meimar. According to Rav Ada's version, as opposed to Rav Huna's version, according to Rav Ada's version of Rav, that the halacha is like the Tanakama, and we will publicly rule that way. And if you say that, then when it comes to the Mefulash situation, no need for a door. So how is it that in Naharda they imposed the need for a door? Michael Amema, what are you going to say then? Omar Rav Shizvi. So Rav Shizvi explains that if your problem is the fact that we were choosing the Chumras of Rav and the Chumras of Shmuel, that is okay. Ki lo avdinon kechumrei debei trei. When is it that we say, we saw in the source that said, don't follow the Chumras of two? Hecho de sasri ahadodi kagon shedra v'golgoyles. That's where the adoption of the double chumrah will actually result in an inherent contradiction, like is the case involving Shedra v'Gulgulis. We'll just refer to that as a topic without explaining it at this point. In a case that's similar to Shedra v'Gulgulis, we will tell you don't adopt a double stringency. Skip the bracketed section. Use the bracket length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text to continue the smooth reading. Avol hecha delo sasri adodi avdinon. Notice how we skipped a few lines, and that's the smooth reading of the Gemara. Once again, what is Rav Shizvi telling me? That there is an objection to following the double chumrah, the double stringency, but that's only where there's an inherent contradiction that arises, like is the case with Shedra v'Gulgulis. But where there's no double, where there's no sasri adodi, there's no inherent contradiction, like is our case with the Mavui. There isn't an inherent contradiction. There are two separate topics. There's a topic of how do you view something that a Mavui Okum? How do you rule on a Mavui Okum? And if you want to say that a Mavui Okum is considered a straightaway, so fine. Then there's another topic of how do you make a tikkun on something that's mefulash. That's another topic. It doesn't create an inherent contradiction. Therefore, you're allowed to impose the chumrah of Rav and the chumrah of Shmuel. And as a result of that, we impose the need for doors. Following this, the Gemara will actually ask, is this all really true? Is it, even where something is inherently contradictory, maybe you are allowed, and the Gemara will deal with that later. We have a section that we skip, and it deals with the topic of the Shedra v'Gulgulis. So, let's go back to Rav Shizvi, where the double underline appears. Rav Shizvi tells us that the only problem of following the double chumrah, the double stringency, is where you create something that's inherently contradictory. Like the case of Shedra Gugolas. Now we'll get into the details. Shedra is a spine, Gugolas is a skull. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading indicating Basograyim in the brackets. Our introduction reads, Machlokes beShamay uBeis Hillel, Ma nechshav chisaron beShedra v'Gulgulis. We'll have a machlokes between beShamay and beShedra, as to the definition of a chisaron. Chisaron means something, a lacking in a spine or a skull. Legabi, with regard to two areas of halacha, tumas oyel and trefa. In general, bones, individual bones, do not communicate tumas oyel. Tumas oyel is in the realm of the ritual impurity conveyed by a corpse, by a mace. So there is no tumas oyel when you deal with bones. However, there are quite a few exceptions, and we're not going to get into all of them, but if you have a complete skull or a complete spine, they are considered significant bones. They will communicate tumas oyel. Let's say it's not exactly complete. There's a chisaron. So then there won't be tumas oyel. There's another area called trefa. Trefa has to do with kashrus of animals. Can you eat the animal or not once it's been slaughtered properly? So if you slaughter an animal and you discover that its skull or its spine is lacking, has a chisaron, it will be considered a trefa and you won't be allowed to eat it. So we have to define chisaron. We have a little, we have a comment that you can see, the starred comment. Our starred comment is, we want to summarize the issue. Let's read what we've written. The Odom Tzorech Likboa Ma Nechshav Chisaron. We have to establish the parameters or the definition of chisaron, of lacking. To be consistent with the definition of chisaron, regarding all halachas that are affected by this kvius, by this establishing, whether you're talking about trefa, you're talking about oil amase, we have to have a singular definition for chisaron, for the lacking with regard to the Shedro Gugolas. Okay, now we turn to the bracketed section, and the job, the role of the Gemara right now is to demonstrate how you can have, by choosing a double Chumra, you can end up having something that's inherently contradictory. Disnan, the source reads as follows. This is a Tanaic source that deals with the topic of oyel ames, that is the ritual defilement to the dead through being under a common overhang or overshadowing. Hashedra v'agulgolas shechosru. The shedra, the spine, or a gulgolas, a skull, will not metame boil. They won't communicate to masmeis by being in the same overhang or in the same room. The kamachisaron b'shedro. Well, how much must be lacking in order for it to be considered an incomplete shedra and hence not communicate to masmeis? Beishamai mishtei chulios beisomim chuliachas. Beishamai says only if it's lacking two vertebrae. If it's lacking one, even though it's lacking, it's considered complete vis-a-vis tumas meis. Beis Hillel is lenient and says even if it's missing one vertebrae, it's considered a chisaron. Over Gulgolas, when it comes to a skull, Beis Shammai omrim kimloi mikdach. Mlo mikdach literally is the size of a drill bit. A mikdach is a drill bit. It's let's just say it's a known size, and Beis Hillel says kidei shinotel min ha'chai v'yomus, enough that if the creature were alive, let's say if the person were alive, and that amount of skull bone would be removed, he would die. That is what constitutes a chisaron. And if it's a chisaron, so if it's missing that amount, so there won't be tumas oyel. The same standard will apply to the issue of trefa. That which is considered lacking in an animal that was slaughtered you will not be allowed to eat it. To make things simple, let's focus on the issue of the spine. So what is the definition of a spine that's lacking? So if you define things like Beis Shammai, so Shtei Chulios, two vertebrae would be considered lacking. In the realm of Tumas Oihel, that would be a stringency. Namely, that if it's missing just one, it's not considered lacking, and it would communicate Tumas Oihel. So according to Beis Shammai, who focus on the definition of lacking, one vertebrae is not a lacking. Well, in the case of Trefa then, that would actually be, accepting that definition, that would result in a leniency. If you have an animal that's lacking a singular vertebrae, you could still eat it. So if you want to define chisaron, you had better be consistent. If you want to take the opinion of chisaron as being defined as two missing vertebrae is called chisaron. One would not be a chisaron. So as far as tumas meis, one is not a chisaron resulting in a stringency, but one is not a chisaron resulting in a leniency with regard to trefa. And that's what we mean by being consistent and don't take two chumras that contradict each other. In this case, if you are going to define a lacking in the case of Tumas Oil, if you take the Beis Shammai approach, that only two is lacking, one is not a lacking, and when it comes to Trefa, you're going to say that one is a lacking and you won't be able to eat the animal, so you're contradicting yourself. You're contradicting yourself. Is the absence of one vertebrae a lacking or not? Is it a chisaron or not? So to say that it's not considered a chisaron with regard to Tumas Oil, and then all of a sudden contradict it and say it is a chisaron with regard to Trefa, that's an internal contradiction with regard to the definition of chisaron. However, in the case of the Movui of Nahar Da'al, there were two separate issues that were being dealt with. One was, how do you treat a Movui Okum? How do you categorize a Movui Okum? The other issue was, how do you paskin with regard to a through fair, a Movui Mefulosh? Being that they're two separate topics of halacha, and you want to choose the chumrah in one area, in other words, in how you define an akum, a Movui Okum, a Movui Okum, and the other area, how do you deal with a Movui Mefulash? You want to be stringent in that area, go right ahead. You're not creating an inherent or an internal contradiction. We continue with the Gemara. The Gemara, right after the brackets, we read this already, but we'll just continue anyway, because the last point we read in the Gemara was V'chein Linyan Trefa, and Rav Shizvi goes on to say, Avol Hecha Delo Sasri Adodi, where there is no inherent contradiction, like we just pointed out, the definition, or how you paskin with regard to an Movui Okum, and the separate topic, how you paskin with regard to a Movui Mefulash. So, Avdinon, you're entitled to choose the chumras in each topic. Now the Gemara asks a question that we introduced with a topic heading on the side. We call this our nosei and hemshech, a continuation, and we've written Ad kan mashma delo paskinun ketrei chumri hecha desasri adavi. Up to this point in the Gemara, it seems that you don't adopt two stringencies where it creates an inherent contradiction. Ha Gemara maksha, the Gemara will be asking here, Harei Mimaisad Rabbi Akiva, from an incident involving Rabbi Akiva, Likate Esrog Be'echod B'Shvat, he harvested an esrog tree on the first of Shvat, the first day of the month of Shvat, and this was a year was between a second and third year of a Shemitah cycle. During the second year of a Shemitah cycle, one tithes, in addition to Maaser Rishon, he also takes off Maaser Sheni, which is fruit that he would bring to Yerushalayim and eat there, or redeem it. If it's a third year, then you would not do the Maaser Sheni tithe, but instead, you would take off something called Maaser Oni, a tithe given to the poor, every third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. Rabbi Akiva finds himself on Echad Shvat, and according the Echad Shvat between a second and third year of a Shemitah cycle, and what did he do? The Hifrish Maaser Oni, he took off a Maaser Oni tithe from these Esroigim Kebeis Shammai, in light of Beis Shammai's opinion that says Echad Shvat is the beginning of a new year vis-a-vis trees. And he and he tithed. He also, from that same harvest of Esroikim, he removed a Maaser Sheni tithe in consistency with Beis Hillel that says that the new year doesn't begin until Tesvav Bishvat, better known as Tu Bishvat. Hare Shtei Chumros Desasri Hadodi. Here you have, in fact, two stringencies that are inherently contradictory. What's the inherent contradiction? Mahu echod b'shvat. What is the definition of the first of Shvat? Is it tchilas hashana? Is it the beginning of the year? In this case, hashana shlishis, kedin Beis Shammai. O Adayin Shana Hashnia, like Beis Hillel. So he was treating the one day, Echad Bishvat, and calling it at the same time the third year and the second year. He was calling the third year by his Maaser Oni Hafrosha, and was calling it the second year by his Maaser Sheni Hafrosha from the same harvest of Esroigim. Seems to be okay. So how can you tell, how can Rav Shizvi answer before that we avoid paskening like two chumas where it creates an inherent contradiction? The Gemara. The Gemara opens with a question. This question is, we call it a long question. It lasts a couple of lines, as our marking shows. And if the two chumas create an inherent contradiction, we won't. Do thusly, Mosav Rav Misharshia. Rav Misharshia shows a source indicating otherwise. Maisav Rabbi Kiva, an incident involving Rabbi Kiva Shalikid Esrog Bechod Bishvat. He harvested an Esrog. Rashi says Esrog is the name of the tree. So he harvested the Esrog fruits from the Esrog tree on the first of Shvat. Venoag Vos Shnei Isurim. And he did a double tithe. In addition, when we say a double tithe, that means in addition to the standard every year tithe of Trumos and Maaser Rishon, when Maaser Rishon is given to a Levi, in addition to that, he did a double tithe of a Maaser Oni and a Maaser Sheni. Now, the Maaser Oni and Maaser Sheni tithes never overlap. In other words, if it's a Maaser Sheni year, which is the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the cycle, there's no Maaser Oni. And if it's a Maaser Oni tithe year, the third and sixth years of the cycle, so there's no Maaser Sheni tithe. And what did Rabbi Akiva do? It was Echad Bishvat, and he took both Maaser Oni and Maaser Sheni. Echad Kedivrei Beis Shammai. He was taking the Maaser Oni in this case because we were going from second into third year, viewing Echad Bishvat as the beginning of the third year. The Echad Kedivrei Beis Hillel, and he took off the Maaser Sheni tithe as treating Echad Bishvat not as the beginning of the third year, the beginning of the third year only starting 2 weeks later at Tu Bishvat. So what do we see here? We see Rabbi Kiva paskind, he insisted on tithing like this one and like that one. We call that the chumras of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, creating an inherent contradiction in how you look at Echad Bishvat. Is it the end of the, is it the continuation toward the end of the previous year, or is it the first day of the new year? The Gemara answers, no, Rabbi Akiva was not taking into consideration the two opinions, creating an inherent contradiction. Rabbi Akiva gamrei istapikle. Rabbi Akiva had a doubt concerning his tradition. V'lo yoda e beis hillel b'chad b'shvat amur e b'chameser b'shvat amur. He knows that you have to paskin like beis hillel. So he was attempting to follow the teaching of Beis Hillel. However, he just doesn't know. He forgot. He didn't remember what Beis Hillel's definition of beginning of new year was. According to Beis Hillel, is it the first of Shvat, or is it the 15th of Shvat? And I want to fulfill Beis Hillel's ruling, so what do I do? So I have to cover my ground, I have to cover myself and take off Meiser Oni on the possibility that Beis Hillel says it's the beginning of the new year, the third year. And I'll take off Meiser Sheni on the assumption that maybe Beis Hillel views Echad v'Shvat as part of the last days of the second year. And that's why the Avad Hochel Luchumra v'Hochel Luchumra, he did this double tithe just to make sure he covered himself and that he was acting stringently only to make sure that he was fulfilling the rots on the will of Beis Hillel. But he wasn't choosing the chumras of two different opinions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, thereby creating an inherent contradiction as to what the definition of Echad b'Shvat is. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.